Next time you go in for a teeth cleaning, I want you to sit back in that chair. You know, look past the little paper bib they clip around your neck.
Right.
Look past the tray of shiny metal tools and just really look at the room, because you might think you're just going in for a routine checkup.
Yeah, a simple cleaning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But behind that calm waiting room and, the soothing soft jazz and the smiling front desk staff,
Yeah.
you are actually stepping into a highly complex, incredibly vulnerable data ecosystem.
You really are. And the physical environment is so sanitized and tangible that it creates this fascinating
Oh,
illusion.
totally.
You feel like you're in this purely medical space, but the operational reality of that clinic is, well, it's entirely digital.
Yeah, and that contrast is basically our mission for this deep dive.
Yeah.
We are going to completely transform the way you look at a simple trip to the dentist.
It's a huge shift.
It is. We're pulling from some incredibly detailed source material from 2026. It's focused on modern dental IT management and business continuity, specifically in Orange County, California.
Right, a really high expectation market.
Exactly. We're looking at what it actually takes to keep these clinics running today. And honestly, the lessons we are extracting, they apply to almost any local business you trust with your personal information.
Yeah, we're looking at a fundamental shift in how small healthcare businesses have to operate just to survive.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the old view of a dental office, like the one we probably still hold on to, is just a front desk with a desktop computer.
Maybe a basic internet connection.
Right, a basic connection, a printer for your receipt, and like a giant closet full of paper files. Technology used to just be a fancy typewriter.
Yeah, but the reality in 2026 is that a modern clinic is a critical clinical business system.
Exactly. If the IT isn't working, nobody is just, walking over to a closet to reset a router anymore.
No, they're facing a crisis that threatens patient trust, revenue, and just basic healthcare delivery.
So what's going on behind the scenes?
Well, what's fascinating here is the sheer volume of interconnected systems that have to talk to each other perfectly in real time.
It's not just one computer anymore.
Not at all. I mean, we're dealing with digital sensors physically inside the patient's mouth, transmitting data to high-resolution imaging software.
Wow.
And then that software has to instantly sync with a practice management system, which triggers automated patient reminders, updates cloud portals, processes payments.
And handles all the backups.
Exactly. Constant encrypted backups. And when all those systems are stable, the office feels completely serene. You, as the patient, are completely unaware of this massive, invisible nervous system firing all around you.
But we definitely notice that nervous system when it fails, right?
Absolutely.
And the domino effect of that failure is immediate and
Yeah.
pretty brutal. I mean, when one system goes down, everything else just grinds to a halt.
Yeah, retrieving a single x-ray takes 10 times longer.
Or the file is just corrupted entirely. And then insurance claims can't be processed. The phones start ringing with confused patients. The calls stack up.
And you can visibly see the staff's blood pressure rising.
Oh, totally. They lose confidence in the tools they need to do their jobs.
And, the fallout reveals a really crucial reality about modern tech failures. The biggest financial hit isn't the emergency repair invoice from the technician who drives out to fix the server.
Right, it's not the hourly rate of the IT guy.
Exactly. The true cost is the operational downtime. If the practice management system goes offline at, say, 8:00 a.m., the clinical work physically cannot proceed.
Because you can't safely treat a patient if you can't read their chart.
Right, and that single morning outage creates scheduling delays that ripple across the entire week, forcing cancellations and, massive staff overtime.
It makes me think of a high-end restaurant kitchen.
Oh, I like that comparison.
Yeah, like you walk into a beautiful, peaceful dining room, right? But in the back, the kitchen is this incredibly complex, finely tuned
A
machine.
lot of moving parts.
Exactly. And if the ticket printer, that tiny little thermal printer that tells the line cooks what the orders are, if that suddenly breaks, the chefs still know how to cook.
They still have the
Right.
skills.
They have the knife skills, they have the ingredients, the stoves are hot, but the entire delivery mechanism just collapses.
Yeah, the expediter is yelling, the timing is ruined.
The food dies on the pass. And that's what it's like for a patient when the tech behind the appointment suddenly becomes visible. You realize the dentist actually can't do their job, and it is incredibly jarring.
Right, because the chefs need the tickets, and a dentist needs the digital x-ray and the patient history.
Exactly.
And that dependency is why planning in 2026 has to start with business continuity, not just, you know, a reactive help desk.
Right, because a help desk is just waiting for things to break.
Exactly. A typical help desk model is entirely passive. Something breaks, a staff member submits a ticket, and the office just waits. But business continuity is a proactive discipline.
Meaning you're ahead of the problem.
Yeah, it means treating uptime as a measurable daily responsibility.
That's about like catching the ticket printer before it even jams.
Yes, exactly, through constant monitoring. Good IT management detects when a hard drive is starting to degrade or when a server is running dangerously hot.
Like days before it actually fails.
Right, days before. It involves pushing security patches quietly in the background to close vulnerabilities before they can be exploited.
Wow.
The objective isn't to be good at fixing broken things. The objective is creating an environment that simply does not break.
But achieving that seamless environment is it's surprisingly complicated. Especially because of the sheer number of hands in the cookie jar.
Oh, the vendors.
Yeah, that brings us to a massive operational bottleneck the source material talks about, the vendor merry-go-round.
It's a huge issue.
Because these clinics don't just buy a dentist office in a box from one store, right? They rely on a patchwork of highly specialized vendors.
Right. You have one company that manufactures the imaging sensors.
Exactly. And a totally different software company provides the practice management platform.
A third company handles the VoIP phones.
A fourth provides the internet, and like a fifth hosts the automated patient text messages. It's crazy.
And that fractured ecosystem creates a real crisis of accountability. I mean, when a digital x-ray refuses to load on the screen, the imaging company will look at it and say, well, our sensor is fine. The problem is your network.
Naturally.
And then the network company gets on the phone and says, the network is fine. It must be your firewall blocking the data.
So everyone just points fingers at everyone else.
Exactly. And the problem remains unsolved.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second here.
Sure.
I look at these local offices, and they usually have a highly capable, incredibly organized office manager running the show.
They absolutely do.
Right. So why can't that person just act as the coordinator? I mean, they know the staff, they know the equipment. Why can't they just get on the phone with tech support and force these vendors to talk to each other?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the daily reality of that office manager's role. Their actual job is the patient experience, right?
Mm.
Managing billing disputes, coordinating clinicals. Yeah, they hold the account numbers, the support contacts, the administrative privileges. When the imaging vendor says they need a specific database configuration, the IT partner knows the environment intimately.
And they just execute the change directly.
Exactly. Completely bypassing the clinic staff, the office manager never even has to pick up the phone.
Which is huge, because when they lack that kind of technical air traffic control, small offices start adopting what our sources call informal access habits.
Oh, the workarounds.
Yeah, they're desperate for speed. So you start seeing the classic shared logins.
Everyone at the front desk uses the same username.
Right, front desk admin. Or you have that ubiquitous sticky note hidden under the keyboard with a password like summer 2026 that every single employee knows.
And, you know, those informal habits might feel efficient in the moment, but they systematically destroy individual accountability.
How so?
Well, if four different receptionists are logging in as front desk admin, it becomes completely impossible to trace an action back to a specific human being.
Oh, I see.
You don't know who viewed a sensitive patient chart, who accidentally deleted an appointment, or, you know, how a billing error occurred.
Because it just looks like the same user did everything.
Exactly. And crucially, when a staff member leaves the practice, maybe on bad terms, you're left with an enormous security gap.
Because they still know the password.
Right. And you can't revoke their access without changing the password for everyone else and disrupting the entire office workflow.
And that loss of individual accountability isn't just an internal management headache, is it?
No, not at all.
It is exactly the blind spot that external attackers are banking on.
Absolutely.
We've talked about accidental glitches and the chaos of vendor finger pointing, but we have to look at the deliberate malicious threats. We have to talk about the data.
The stakes are incredibly high.
And here's where it gets really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I am a cyber criminal sitting halfway across the world looking for a target, Why on earth am I going after a local Orange County dentist?
It seems counterintuitive, right?
Yeah. Why not aim for a massive corporation or a credit card company or a bank?
It all comes down to the brutal economics of cybercrime.
Economics.
Yeah, attackers are looking for a specific asymmetry. They want organizations that hold highly valuable data but possess very limited internal security defenses.
Wow.
A dental office or a small medical clinic fits that profile flawlessly.
Because they hold a treasure trove of monetizable information.
Yes, and it's way beyond just credit card numbers. They hold deep, comprehensive identities.
Like patient medical histories.
Exactly. Insurance policy details, social security numbers, physical addresses, dates of birth.
Wow, that's everything.
To a hacker, that data can be sold on the dark web, used for identity theft, or used to execute medical insurance fraud. It is an absolute goldmine.
And they don't have bank-level security to protect it.
Right. Because these are small, locally run businesses, they often suffer from vulnerabilities like unpatched software or, like you mentioned, those shared weak passwords on sticky notes.
Meaning the hacker really doesn't have to work very hard to get in.
Exactly the opposite of a bank heist. A hacker doesn't need to write a sophisticated zero-day exploit, which, you know, is a brand new, invisible cyber weapon that no one has a defense for yet.
Right.
They don't need to break through military-grade encryption. They just need one rush receptionist to click a bad link in a phishing email.
Or they just buy one stolen reuse password online.
Yes. And once they have that single credential, they can walk right through the digital front door and quietly start exploring the network.
Which brings a whole new gravity to HIPAA compliance. I mean, we all know the acronym. You go to the doctor, you sign the clipboard acknowledging the HIPAA privacy policy, and you hand it back.
Right, the paperwork.
Yeah. But the source material stresses that a HIPAA cannot just be a dusty binder of policies sitting on an office shelf.
It really can't.
Yeah.
A policy that simply declares patient information must be protected is totally useless if a fired employee's account remains active for 6 months.
Obviously.
HIPAA requires active daily execution. It mandates administrative, physical, and technical safeguards.
What does that look like in practical terms?
In practical terms, that means maintaining immutable audit logs of who looked at what file. It means enforcing unique user accounts with multi-factor authentication.
So no more front desk admin accounts.
Yeah, exactly. It means encrypting data at rest and in transit and rigorously securing any laptops or mobile devices that leave the physical building.
Okay, we have to talk about the backups too. Because this is where a lot of businesses think they are safe, but are actually incredibly vulnerable.
This is such a critical point.
There is a great line in the analysis that says, a backup icon does not prove data can survive.
Yeah, so many business owners suffer from a false sense of security. They see a little green checkmark icon on their server screen, or they, you know, pay a monthly invoice for a cloud subscription.
And they just assume their data is perfectly safe?
Right. But modern ransomware is incredibly insidious. It doesn't just lock the single computer that got infected.
What does it do?
Ransomware acts like a digital scout. Once it's inside, it actively crawls through the network cables, looking for attached hard drives, shared folders, and backup servers.
Oh, man. So if your backup drive is just plugged into the USB port of the main server?
The ransomware finds it and encrypts the backup right along with the original data.
Wow. So in an instant, your safety net is just gone.
Yes, gone. That is why a proper defense strategy requires immutable backups copies of the data that literally cannot be altered or deleted, stored completely isolated from the main network.
Okay, that makes sense.
And, crucially, you have to run rigorous restore tests. You have to routinely simulate an attack and prove that you can bring back the patient records, the multi-gigabyte imaging databases, and the user permissions fast enough to physically reopen the clinic.
Because it's not just about recovering a Word document. It's about recovering the ability to safely treat the person sitting in the chair. So we've laid out the stakes pretty clearly here. The digital ecosystem is fragile. Downtime is financially catastrophic. Vendors point fingers. And hackers are actively hunting for lazy passwords.
It is definitely overwhelming.
It is. But the source material pivots here to practical, actionable solutions. It outlines a 90-day turnaround plan to build a bulletproof practice in 2026.
And the very first step of that is a reality check.
Okay.
Before leadership even thinks about hiring an IT provider or buying new software, they have to define the business outcome they actually want.
Right.
They need to define their budget, and most importantly, they must define the operational risk of doing nothing. You don't start by looking at vendor catalogs. You start with internal clarity.
Like asking what specific workflow is the most exposed.
Exactly. What data would ruin us if it was lost?
And once that baseline is established, the rollout has to be meticulously phased. The sources strongly warn against the all-or-nothing sprint.
Oh, the rip and replace.
Yeah, we've all seen this nightmare scenario. A clinic decides to modernize. So they tear out every computer, change the network, and install brand new software all on a single Saturday.
And then Monday morning arrives.
Monday morning arrives, and the sensors won't talk to the computers, the internet is down, the staff doesn't know how to log in, and the waiting room is full of angry patients.
It's a recipe for absolute operational trauma.
Seriously.
A successful turnaround begins with a quiet discovery phase. You painstakingly inventory every single device, every vendor contract, and every piece of network equipment.
You find out who owns what relationship.
Right. You establish a comprehensive baseline because you fundamentally cannot secure an environment if you don't know exactly what is running inside of it.
Now, I want to challenge one of the common mistakes highlighted in the text, though.
Let's hear it.
It warns against treating IT as a one-time fix, which makes total sense. But it also warns against measuring activity instead of outcomes.
Yeah.
It explicitly says that simply adding more dashboards is a failure.
But wait, doesn't an office manager need to know what's happening? Isn't adding dashboards and security alerts exactly how you monitor a network?
You'd think so.
It just sounds counterintuitive, like we're telling them to fly blind.
This raises an important question about human psychology, really, and how we measure success in IT. The goal is not to ignore data. The warning is against the illusion of control that comes from sheer volume.
Okay.
Think about it. If an office manager starts receiving 50 automated emails a day saying, firewall blocked a ping from a foreign IP address, human nature takes over.
They're going to start ignoring those emails.
Exactly. It becomes white noise, and when a critical alert finally comes through, it gets completely missed.
Alert fatigue. They build up a tolerance to the warnings until they mean absolutely nothing.
Right. Success in a modern clinic shouldn't be measured by how many flashing lights you have on a dashboard. It must be measured by tangible business indicators.
Like what? Like, are there fewer operational interruptions this month compared to last? Has the speed of retrieving a 3D dental scan improved? Is the cycle time for a patient visit more predictable?
You want a handful of incredibly strong indicators of health.
Exactly, rather than a mountain of technical trivia.
And the context of where this happens matters immensely, too. The deep dive specifically looks at the Orange County market, noting that consumers there have notoriously high expectations for seamless service.
Oh, very high expectations.
In a highly competitive environment like that, a technical weakness rarely stays a secret. If a patient's trying to pay and the digital terminal keeps timing out, or if they call to reschedule and the VOIP system drops the call.
It erodes their trust instantly.
Yeah, right. They might not complain to the front desk. They just won't come back.
And that fragility of trust is exactly why the initial 90-day implementation has to mature into a recurring review cadence.
You can't just set it and forget it.
No. The recommendation is holding monthly reviews focused strictly on operational issues, analyzing what broke, how quickly it was fixed, and identifying recurring bottlenecks.
And then?
Then holding quarterly reviews dedicated to broader strategy, budget forecasting, and evaluating vendor performance.
Because if you don't enforce that rhythm, the system suffers from what the text calls drift.
Drift.
I love that concept. Mm-hmm. It isn't that a rogue employee intentionally sabotages the network. It's entropy. The system just slowly falls out of alignment.
It happens all the time.
New staff members arrive and bypass security protocols, software updates change network configurations, and, you know, the external cyber threats constantly evolve.
Yeah, and after 90 days of a disciplined, phased approach, success looks like a quiet network, visible operational gains, and robust living documentation.
Documentation is key.
It is. It's what turns a one-off IT project into permanent organizational knowledge. If a key vendor goes out of business or the lead doctor decides to retire, the operational blueprint of the practice survives.
So what does this all mean? We started this journey by asking you to look around the waiting room with a critical eye.
Right.
And what we've uncovered is that a modern dental practice in 2026 is, at its core, a complex, high-stakes digital hub.
It absolutely is.
Treating IT as just a utility, like the water from the faucet or the electricity in the walls, is a massive, potentially fatal blind spot. It has to be treated as a proactive, deeply managed clinical business system.
That is the only way a clinic can protect patient trust.
Right. The only way to prove they are actually executing on daily HIPAA compliance and, frankly, maintain the operational sanity of their staff.
Yeah, the ultimate goal is shifting technology from being a persistent source of anxiety and uncertainty into a dependable, smoothly managed business function.
And whether you run a dental practice, whether you manage a totally different kind of small business, or whether you are simply a consumer handing over your driver's license and medical history, technology is the absolute foundation of reputation today.
It really is.
You can be the most skilled, most compassionate dentist in the world, but if your network is locked up by ransomware, you are not seeing a single patient today. And more importantly, your patients' identities are now out in the wild.
Which brings up a larger implication when we look toward the future of local healthcare.
What's that?
We are watching medical and dental practices become entirely dependent on interconnected tech and cloud workflows. It really makes you wonder, will we soon reach a point where patients demand to see a clinic's IT security rating before they ever agree to sit in the chair?
Oh, wow.
I mean, we look for health department letter grades on the windows of restaurants. If all of my most sensitive personal, financial, and medical data is flowing through a clinic's local network, is a practice's digital hygiene becoming just as critical as its clinical hygiene?
That is a phenomenal perspective. We want to know the kitchen is clean before we eat the food.
Okay.
We should absolutely want to know the data hygiene of the network holding our medical records before we open our mouth.
That is definitely something to think about next time you're staring up at the ceiling waiting for the hygienist to come in. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you look at the invisible digital infrastructure of the businesses you interact with every day in a whole new light. Until next time.